Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Spiritual Gangsta Certified Podcast. I am your host, Janae Jones, also known as Illy Vish. And in this episode, I'll be covering the astrology of July 2023 to let everybody know what's going on in the sky and also what to expect for the signs. And when I say the signs, I don't just mean your sun sign. You want to take into consideration if you are that sign sun, moon, rising, or have dominant placements within it in listening to that. And also, we have a special guest. We have the Virgin Priestess, who is going to do a charm casting reading for the month of July. So you don't want to miss out on any of that. And again, just a reminder to everyone, if you want to learn about astrological concepts a little bit deeper, click the link in the episode description to join the Astro G Ladies Facebook group, where me and my fellow astrologer ladies all work together to help bring astrological understanding to everyone so that you can use it practically. And also, as another reminder, if you have an interest in Yods, which is an astrological configuration in the chart known as the Finger of God, I will be doing a course via the great, the awesome astrologer Nadia Shah's Synchronicity University. I'll be doing a course on July 29th at 2 p.m. Eastern. You can sign up for that on synchronicityuniversity.com. Link in the episode bio. Hope everyone has had a fantastic June, or as best of a June as you could. We're in July now, and I'm excited about what's to come. Let's go.
Spiritual Gangsta Certified, Illy Vish.
Hello, everyone. Hope everybody's doing fantastic. Welcome to July. As I record this, it is July 1st. I thought it was a good idea to go through the astrology of July to kind of let everybody know what to expect. We've had a lot of heavy energy upon us this year, with major transits going on and major ingresses of planets into signs like Saturn leaving Aquarius and going into Pisces, Pluto leaving Capricorn and going into Aquarius, though it is retrograded back into Capricorn now and is at the 29th anaretic degree. So some things have been kicking up with that that I'll be talking about in coming episodes. But it's Cancer season, y'all. It didn't just become Cancer season July 1st, but we're in the midst of this energy. And as I record this today, July 1st, the sun is sextile Jupiter in Taurus. Sextiles are like an opportunity. So the energy of the sun in Cancer, which is a collective, almost like, what's the word that I want to use? Spotlight being shown on Cancer themes. Remember, this is the sign of families, women, instincts, and emotions. Okay, it's ruled by the moon. With its sextiling Jupiter, this can have a very optimistic feel to it. However, I want to say that Jupiter, because it makes things bigger, there's been a lot of like emotional uptick, especially when it comes to how people have been dealing with their family, okay? That has been a huge theme just in conversations in my circle. Cancer is also the sign that we would attribute to nostalgia, okay? Cancer is very nurturing. It does want to take care of things. However, as a cardinal water sign, what we see often with Cancer is the initiating of emoting and all the things that come with that. So with the sextile to Jupiter in Taurus, first of all, Jupiter being in Taurus, I have loved this energy because it has touched my natal earth placements, and it is making contact, or has made contact, with my progressed sun. So today is, I would say, a very positive day. Even if something negative is going on, you can find the value in it. Taurus has a keyword that I stick to: values. Not even just like monetary value, but like your self-worth, because we're also talking about like the second house in general here when we talk about Taurus. There's an opportunity here to really get into contact at a deeper emotional level with your values. Are you in alignment with them? Is this something that is making you uncomfortable, and why? If you're not really comfortable with how you align with someone or something and it winds up being a value issue, it could be a mismatch. There's some sort of joy and gift to be found in examining this. But staying optimistic, definitely, I would say, would help. Now, tomorrow we're going to have Venus, which is in Leo, squaring Uranus and Taurus. I just spoke of values. This is like double value conversation here, okay? Because Venus itself is the planet associated with values, and Uranus is in the sign of values, which is ruled by Venus. While square aspects can be very uncomfortable because it's friction, what is one of the best things that comes out of friction? Growth. Growth, 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 growth. Now, when we talk about Venus, the first thing that a lot of people think of is relationships, and it's been in the sign of Leo. And I feel whenever Venus is kind of like in a fixed sign, it is definitely highlighting some of the more dug in things that we deal with. So in other words, where we don't like to move or change, right? What aspects in your relationships or even in your values do you find your pride even has you refusing to move? Now, the interesting about this squaring Uranus and Taurus is Uranus and Taurus itself is kind of the energy of a square, because Uranus is the ruling planet of Aquarius, okay? And Taurus squares Aquarius. So Uranus doesn't really like being in Taurus per se, okay? And since Uranus is sudden change and insight and genius, it being in a sign of values means there's like some disruption all of a sudden to those things, to our sense of value, even to our money. Now, these things squaring each other, where are you going to find within how you relate to others, not just relationships, right? Like as far as romantic ones, any relationship when you're dealing with a person one-on-one, where is there friction that you can point out? Where is there friction that you can feel in a misalignment with what is valuable? This could be a squabble about money, actual, you know, currency, or just where you like align with someone else. I know with myself, since Uranus has been in Taurus, which is interesting, I actually launched Spiritual Gangsta Certified as a brand when Uranus first went into Taurus. I wanted to be pushed out of my comfort zone, sort of, so to speak, because, you know, Taurus, bull in the field, doesn't want to move. And Uranus is like electricity. And I know they use cattle prods to get cattle to move. So this is the kind of energy that I was thinking. If I wanted to be pushed out of my comfort zone to really connect on a higher level with what was valuable to me, which is astrology and spirituality and my journey on it, then I thought it was a great time to kind of like break out of what I call, I had been in the astrological closet. Only people close to me really knew that this was a practice that I had any interest in or that I was pursuing. But with Venus square Uranus, there may also be sudden disappointments having to do with values and money. This need for freedom too, because Uranus is rebellious. It wants to break free. Now, the very next day, July 3rd, we will have a full moon in Capricorn. As I see people question the moon phases and different things online, just wanted to say full moons always occur when the sun is exactly opposite the moon. So since we're in Cancer season, Capricorn is the opposite of Cancer. Now, what is Capricorn energy? When you think about it, I call it the goat. Of course, it's represented by the goat, but goat meaning greatest of all time. So highest part of the chart, because it's also the 10th house, the reputation, what everybody sees. So Capricorn energy in general wants to have its proverbial shit together, okay? Because our reputation, what people see about us, it's on display. This full moon in Capricorn, listen, I'm going to say this. As far as releasing things during a full moon, I mean, some people might look at this and go like, ugh, I've already got too much responsibility on me. Ugh, it's too much. How do I release some of it? For some people, I could see it playing out like that. But I take it more like this is a time to release you playing games about how you're seen, your responsibilities, the boundaries that you set with people too, how you practically take control of things. Capricorn CEO energy. Okay, what do CEOs do? They run companies. You know, this is delegation as well, the energy of that. Because I think a lot of people, when they're struggling with their responsibilities, sometimes they do not consider that you can actually find ways to delegate some of that to different people. For some people, that isn't always possible or they can't see a way to do it. But I'm speaking more to the people who haven't even considered that you don't have to have your hands deep in everything, right? And maybe what you're struggling with to get done is because you haven't delegated properly. And maybe that delegation could also, or the lack of delegation, I could say, could be a lack of organization. Because you can also delegate things to yourself. How are we effectively balancing out? Because since the sun is in the sign of emoting and the moon is in the sign of responsibility, right? And Capricorn runs cold. I mean, it starts off winter. Capricorn season starts off winter, while Cancer season starts off summer. So you have very different, feels of this energy. One runs cold, the other runs hot. How do we find a balance between these two things? Well, it is summer. A lot of people are wanting to let their hair down. A lot of people are going on vacation and hanging out and just doing whatever, right? However, are we to forget too much about our responsibilities? And remember, Venus squaring Uranus the day before, you're still going to be under this energy. It's just not going to be exact by the time the full moon in Capricorn ramps up. This is something that I think should be looked kind of at like, all right, no matter how you feel, don't forget your responsibilities. Conversely, no matter what your responsibilities are, you can't neglect your feelings. So this is something that I think is standing out heavy to the collective. Then on July 6th, we're going to have Mercury, which is in Cancer, sextiling Uranus in Taurus. So you could get sudden insight into something that's probably been bothering you for a while. It is probably, in my opinion, when you have Mercury making aspect to Uranus in Taurus. Okay, yes, I talked about sudden disruption with Uranus being in Taurus too. Things like your values, your money. Taurus is also food. It is. Uranus is also innovation. So besides disruption, how could you stand to relook at things in a different way and have the opportunity to have a strike of genius when it comes to money, when it comes to your value systems, the morals that you hold? okay? Even food. I said the entire time that Uranus will be in Taurus, we would see some food innovations. And I've seen so many articles during this transit about different ways to feed the world. Some people don't necessarily like some of the things that have come up. I know it's been a little icky, I guess you could say, for me to see this whole proposal that the world switch to eating insects because they're a great source of protein. And because unlike other farms where there's livestock that are being farmed essentially to be eaten, that it is less harmful on the environment. So that's come up, though I don't know how many people would be willing to trade their chicken wing for a grasshopper. But that's one of the things that I've seen come up. Like, there are solutions available to you. They could suddenly start to become clear, right? But I would also say, our thoughts are not our feelings, right? And sometimes people have a hard time differentiating between the two. That becomes an issue. You know, I read somewhere a long time ago that we're supposed to use our mind and our thoughts as a playground for ideas, right? Now, our emotions are like weather. They come and go. You know, you can feel one way in one moment and another in the next. To be torn between one's head and their feelings is not an easy thing to deal with at all. Like, Mercury being in Cancer itself kind of screams that. But if you are aware that, yes, okay, my thoughts, playground, place to consider things, versus my emotions, which flow like the weather and can't necessarily be counted on for accuracy in the long term since they change so much, yet there's wisdom within both. There's kind of a balance between both. But July 6th, you know, with that sextile to Uranus and Taurus, I feel like what's going to happen is things will suddenly be clear to some of us who have been going back and forth between head and heart. So that's what I'm getting from that. So then by July 9th, we're having Mercury, again in Cancer, trining Neptune in Pisces. I am sick of Neptune in Pisces personally, only because I have Pisces placements and for years Neptune has been hovering over them. I think 2 years ago on my birthday, Neptune was exactly conjunct within 1 minute of my sun. It's now further away, but it's gonna come back since the retrograde of Neptune. Whole other story, but Neptune reminds me all of the time, especially in its ruling sign of Pisces, the importance of imagination and what we can come up with that isn't yet physically real. Anything that ever was created had to first start in someone's imagination. No matter how insane that thing sounded, no matter how out of this world it may have been, in order for a person to actually bring something into physical manifestation, it had to be a part of the waters of Pisces, so to speak, since we're talking about Neptune, okay? It had to come from kind of a formless place. And, you know, we tell children all the time about their imaginary friends and that's just your imagination, which, you know, we're supposed to do that to prepare them for the reality of the world. And I feel like Saturn in Pisces highlights that because Saturn's reality. And then, you know, Pisces is related to Neptune. But sometimes I think we forget the gift that our imagination is. Remember that Neptune also rules movies and glamour. When you think about it, even if we're talking about, we can run the gamut between a horror movie to old Hollywood glamour, so to speak, right? All of this would be under the rulership of Neptune. It is literally creating illusions. So illusions aren't always bad. They aren't always a means to deceive you in a negative way. But if you're watching a movie And it's supposed to be, let's say, about a world that doesn't really exist. Whether or not the movie will be good mostly is going to depend on how that world was created. Okay? So, Neptune in Pisces itself too is a very creative energy. And if your mind starts turning on some new ideas, okay? If you all of a sudden just feel a little overcome, and I'm going to say overcome because Neptune in its home sign of Pisces is a lot of Piscean energy. If you feel overcome with this urge to freely create, this is great for that. Great for that. Also that same day though, Pallas is going to enter Virgo. And when I talk about Pallas, who is Pallas Athene, I remind people all of the time that it's like, and for the male listeners, sorry to just place it in a feminine aspect, but it's Pallas Athene. That's what it makes me think of. The inner warrior goddess. Why was Athena an amazing, amazing warrior goddess? Well, of course, we're going to think about one's need to be able to wield weapons appropriately. How can you handle that sword? That's important because you can't be out on the battlefield kicking ass if you don't know what you're doing. But also what Pallas points to is the ability to strategize. What makes you good in war? Is it simply that you can wield the weapon, or is it also that you have a strategy against your enemy? So in Virgo, a couple things pop up automatically to me. First of all, the first thing I think of is health. Okay, how are you appropriately setting up strategies to combat any threats to your health? Are you taking care of yourself? What work can you start in order to be more strategic about your health and to deal with it? And then I think of with Virgo, not only the specifics, but your day-to-day life. It's the sixth house. Our habits, our routines. What is something that could be instituted to make you better aware, not only of what it is that you have habits of doing, but if you want to create new habits that are going to be healthier for you? Big, big, big theme. And then on July 10th, which I am looking forward to because this means I will be having my Mars return on that day as a 0 degree Mars in Virgo natal placement. Mars is going to enter Virgo, y'all. This, for anybody that has Mars in Virgo, you probably, if you don't know how to do this, you can reach out to me and I can show you. But in general, you can pull a chart for your Mars return. All you have to do is get Mars at the exact degree and minute that it's in your birth chart. That applies to everybody, right? But specifically to the Mars and Virgo people. If you can pull a chart for the degree where Mars is in Virgo in the minute in your birth chart, and then look at that chart, that isolated chart, it'll give you so much information about the next 2.5 years of your life. Now, what is Mars? It's how we aggress ourselves. It's how we stand up for ourselves. It's how we get moving. It's how we fight. And excuse my French, it's how we fuck. It's about our anger too. It is about our drive. When you think of those themes in terms of a Mars return, look at it like, oh my gosh, I'm getting a kickstart. This is a new cycle, 2.5 year cycle of my energy in all of those ways. Now, I have to say, and especially since I have Mars at the 0 degree, which is Mars in Virgo, so that's Virgo energy in the Virgo decan and Virgo duat. It's as Virgo as one can get. I'm going to say collectively, there's going to be a lot of fault finding. Virgo's the sign that seeks perfection, okay? It is the energy of the maiden in the field separating wheat from chaff. What's necessary? God, I can't talk. Listen to that Mercury in Pisces again. Separating what is necessary from what is not. I notice a lot of people who have Mars in Virgo, when it comes to breaking everything down to its least common denominator, to like the meat and potatoes of something, to like what is literally necessary and separating all the other bullshit from it, they tend to get a lot of hate from other people. Like when I feel aggressed upon, the way that I aggress back is to actually use what someone said against them and break it down. People never take that well. In general, I feel like a lot of Virgo energy doesn't get welcomed when it comes to the, well, actually, and pointing someone out to people. But Virgo is also a mutable sign. So one of the reasons why it's a gift, even though some people won't look at it this way, but a gift to actually have someone pointing out what's wrong. It's because they're trying to get to what's right. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't be done in excess. And under this transit, I'm sure you're going to see a lot of people overanalyzing shit to the point where it's nitpicky as fuck. But the good way to be able to use this energy is to look at it as what drives me will be the details of how well I can execute something. I don't want to say how perfect, because nothing will ever be perfect, but because Virgo strives for perfection, it keeps it as a goal. So that keeps it going. And also the fact that Virgo is a mutable sign, we cannot change unless we know what's wrong. Unless there's a reason to change, why would you? I mean, it sounds very simplistic to me, but it's like a very difficult thing for some people to understand. Why is it? I don't know. Makes sense to me, but I got a lot of Virgo energy in my chart. See, in order for us to be able to make appropriate changes, we first have to identify that which is a problem. Under this transit, a lot of people will probably go overboard with the fault finding. But at the same time, if you personally can keep in mind that, you know, we need to be able to separate what's necessary from what's not. If we are to grow and change, that's something that we just have to do. So while we don't want to do it in excess, it is necessary. So look out for that. I mean, that's just how it is. July 10th, same day, okay? Mercury's ass in Cancer again is going to be opposing Pluto in Capricorn. So we're at the 29th degree. Let me tell y'all something. If you hear me talk strongly about the 29th degree of any planet, it is simply because the first thing that I think of is, oh my God, there's a sense of urgency. Think about it. We count when we measure the degrees that planets are in, or planets in the sign that they're in are in. We're measuring 30 degrees, but we start with zero and end with 29. So the zero degree of a sign is going to be the first opportunity that, you know, that planet in that sign is going to be able to express itself in that way. It's new energy. Whereas the 29th degree is the last chance. It's like the last ditch effort that a sign has to express itself while it's in a planet. So that sense of urgency I'm talking about is like, okay, I've got to hurry up and get this done because soon we won't even be in this territory anymore. Because we're talking about Pluto, which is already an intense planet in the sign of Capricorn, which can be intense itself as it's Saturn ruled. Dude. Okay. Mercury opposing Pluto already. You can look at it like, because sometimes I look at the planets as people. So like I would look at like Mercury being communication and then Pluto being a domineering individual. And especially in Capricorn, imagine a domineering CEO coming to you and telling you, fuck your feelings. I don't care what you think. That's literally what I pick up from this. But also authority figures because of Capricorn. You know, how do you feel impeded? This person is literally your opponent because there's an opposition going on. And oppositions are when signs are directly across from each other. If we're in a boxing match, your opponent's standing across from you. How do we handle someone trying to hold power and control over our thoughts and how we feel, and how we feel about our thoughts. Well, it's a lot. It's a lot. Intense energy, but at the same time, I want everybody to think about the fact that sometimes it is by being challenged that we find out if we really believe or think the things that we do. Some people don't like having their thoughts challenged at all, especially very cognitively dissonant people who, despite the fact that you may be presenting them with everything to completely tear their idea apart, they'll double down on it anyway, which is an entirely different thing to think about, but at the same time, something that may come up. Those who are very cognitively dissonant don't do well with, you know, challenges to their opinion, but maybe that's exactly what they need in order to see that they're actually being cognitively dissonant. To speak about this from another angle, we could also say that when you have intuited knowledge, because that's how I think of Mercury in Cancer, because Cancer is very tied to intuition, and Mercury, of course, is communication and thought processes. But when we've really tapped into what we've intuited and we have knowing, like sometimes you just know things and you don't know how you know them. If you have somebody trying to challenge what you know, standing across from you, being an imposing character, pushing you down because of what you intuit, that's a heavy energy. How do you handle that? How do you stand firm in what you know across from someone trying to control that? Some people's fight or flight reflex kicks in. But some people freeze. There's a lot of different ways that people handle things being challenged. Communication is not going to necessarily be fun July 10th, and also the same day Mercury is going to enter Leo. which the first thing I think of, first of all, during Leo season in general, which is on its way, stuff gets so showy and dramatic in the collective. It's hilarious. But, you know, Mercury is going there first. So we're going to see this, especially online, okay? Now, show-offy Leo energy, which is ruled by the sun. So when people complain about the fact that they act like everything revolves around them, well, I mean, they're acting like they're ruling planet, you know, because the planets revolve around the sun. However, when we talk about the positive qualities of Leo, this is pure love. People think love and think Venus. Nah, that's appreciative love. Like, I really like that, or love that perfume. Oh my God, I love that food from that restaurant. That's not the same as the love you have for your children, which is Leo. Leo also rules children and unconditional love. So we're talking about different things. So the most positive way to think about Mercury going into Leo, and then soon after that, by the end of the month, the sun going into Leo, would be love. Pure, just really doing things from the heart. Leo rules the heart chakra, right? Being able to be pure, embracing your inner child. That sort of thing, to the positive qualities of Leo, the sort of leadership that is not only respectable, but respectful. So if people are popping their shit as Mercury enters Leo on July 10th, bear in mind, some people don't know how to be responsible with Leo energy. It's funny, I was watching a documentary on Netflix about Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm like a documentary junkie, mostly because even if I wasn't into astrology, and even before I was an astrologer, I was fascinated with other people's lives. I like figuring out what makes people tick, which, if we just went by my sun sign, that's so perfect. Pisces at 20 degrees is Pisces in the Scorpio decan and Scorpio duad. Investigative. Psychological shit. Like, I like figuring things out. But now at my big age, being an astrologer and having access to software that allows me to pull charts, I was so fascinated. I was literally watching Arnold Schwarzenegger, and feeling to myself like he's hilarious. His Capricorn moon was strong, like, and I feel like I endear myself to other cat moons. I just can feel it. But, you know, being a Leo with the cat moon, that was hilarious, just to watch him. It was hilarious, because while there were some of the lighter aspects of the fun that we attribute to Leo, the playfulness, and then some of the braggadociousness that's there too, there was a strong sense of responsibility. And I liked how those two things played out with each other, even though Leo and Capricorn are signs that quincunx each other. They really don't have anything in common, but I like seeing that happen. But what I wanted to speak about with being responsible with Leo energy, especially with our communication, especially in the social media age, is if you can talk big shit, I hope you can bag it up. If you're going to be dramatic as fuck, be prepared for the feedback that you get from that. If someone calls you dramatic for being dramatic, well, is that just going to make you more dramatic? It's just going to be like, you're going to be so cool in your ego that you won't be able to actually point the finger inward and be like, yeah, I'm being dramatic. Like, I don't know. I like when people find ways to kind of communicate what's at the heart of them, to be pure. But I really don't like the making everything about me type thing. So that energy will be very strong in the collective too. Thank you for tuning in to part one of What to Expect in July 2023. We'll be back with part two with more astrological takes on how this month is going to go. And also, we'll have the charm reading by the Virgin Priestess. You don't want to miss that. Stay tuned. Here's a sneak peek.
In Cancer season, is honestly a season where it is very heavy. It is not a light-hearted season. It is a very heavy season. It is a very subconscious season. It is a very family and ancestral season. And those things come with burdens. So we've gone into the self section. We're going to go into the family section, which is appropriate for Cancer season. The porcupine is also halfway into the family section. So these things that you might be coming to realize about yourself could be rooted in your family, or perhaps your family just make you aware of these things that trigger you. Spiritual.